report on employees' abuse of telework is damaging a patent and trademark office program long held as a model for other agencies. PTO's challenges demonstrate the need for the government to update the rules that define what work means. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins us now to discuss why PTO's problems are the next hurdle every agency must jump through to make telework successful. Hi, Jason.
Good morning, Emily.
So, Jason, you looked at an audit about PTO's oversight of its telework program. What does it say?
Well, there's some actually disagreement on exactly what problems are with PTO's telework program. You know, we know a couple things. First of all, we know there are 4 hotline complaints to the Commerce Inspector General's office, and a team of PTO managers conducted an audit. That we know it's fact. But then there were 2 reports that came from that audit. The first report, which is a draft report from February that actually did get leaked and that was reported on, both of the reports were reported on by the Washington Post earlier this week. But the draft one talks about major fraud within the time and attendance and abuse where workers say they spent 80 hours working, you know, over a 2-week pay period, but in reality most did not. But then there was a second report, which is much more toned down and talks about the challenges around better management guidance on, for instance, filling out and overseeing time and attendance records and several other what I'll call less hot button type issues. We have posted a link to both the draft report and the final one on federalnewsradio.com. Now, Todd Zinsser is the Commerce Department's Inspector General. He says PTO's report shows a broader challenge that actually all federal telework efforts face.
I think the complaints that came in were basically raising concerns about a shift at PTO, and I think this probably does apply more generally to telework, where there's a shift from the emphasis of working 80 hours in a 2-week pay period to doing 80 hours worth of work during that 2-week pay period. And so as a result, you have PTO supervisors raising concerns because they felt that the current practice of PTO for accounting for patent examiners' time weren't exactly consistent with the regulations and the practices that they've been accustomed to throughout their careers. So I think that is kind of the friction or the tension that exists in several telework policies, and it's an issue that PTO definitely has to address.
Now, Zinsser says PTO set specific goals for patent examiners to complete a certain number of what he calls products during whether it's their 80-hour work week or their 8-hour day. So just as an example, this is hypothetical. If a patent office sets the standard of, let's say, 10 application reviews per 80-hour work week, and someone gets all those 10 done in 60 hours, then what are they doing for the other 20 hours? If they tell the government, well, I worked 80 hours, but in fact, I only worked 60 hours, you know, by law, they may be committing time card fraud. Obviously, that's highly illegal. Now, at the same time, I think Zinsser says PTO's challenges of defining 80 hours worth of work versus working 80 hours in 2 weeks is really not just a PTO problem. It's something that every agency faces, especially as more and more employees move to telework, to move work outside the office. And it's not all about, you know, are you in your seat for 80 hours? It's what are you doing to get your job done?
So tell us a little bit about what's happening, you know, government-wide. Are there roadblocks like these popping up everywhere?
Well, I think this one specifically is probably the newest roadblock that we're seeing. I mean, we've heard over the years about management resistance and technology, but this one is really a new concept. And remember, more and more employees are teleworking. I just quickly pulled up the OPM 2013 telework report to Congress, and they found more than 1 million federal employees are eligible to telework, and more than 301,000 employees actually teleworked in 2012. We're still waiting for the final numbers for, I think, 2013. Now, it seems the government has done a pretty good job of overcoming some of those other barriers, management resistance and technology, especially over the last, you know, 3, 5, 7 years. But now this idea of working hours is the new challenge. Zinsser says there is a growing divide between the official definition of work and how employees view their jobs.
The problem is that there are, you know, rules and regulations that have been enacted in law or in regulation about how the government employees have to account for their time. And I think you're seeing a shift in not only the government, but in, you know, the workforce in general, that people are doing their work in different ways. And I think that the challenge is to adapt, you know, the current work environment and the with the existing regulations. I think PTO thinks they have done that, but obviously, based on this report, they still have some challenges ahead to do that. But I think that's the exact issue the PTO is grappling with.
Now, Zinsser says part of the growing pains of all telework programs is very similar. I also spoke with Lisa Horn. She is the Society of Human Resource Management's Director of Congressional Affairs and the leader of its Workplace Flexibility Initiative. She says basically the government hasn't made the culture shift yet that requires a different point of view from when work is done and when it's done.
Oftentimes, and maybe this is what's happening at PTO, but oftentimes organizations don't have a telecommuting problem. They have a management problem or a performance management problem, because it can be uncomfortable to hold, you know, employees accountable for their performance. But it's so important, especially in a telework arrangement. You know, clear goals and objectives need to be set, and employees need to understand those as well as supervisors. There needs to be check-ins towards those goals. They need to be measurable. And then at the end of the day, those employees need to be held accountable for meeting those objectives.
Now, I also spoke with Kate Lister. She's another telework expert. She's the president of Global Workplace Analytics, and she echoes a lot of Horn's observations about the need for better management and better performance metrics. Now, Global Workplace Analytics provides training to public and private sector organizations on teleworking or alternative workplace development. Now, the company actually did a survey last year of 150 top telework people in government, asking them what obstacles they face and what opportunities they see. Lister says of the more than 10,000 words the respondents chose to write into their survey, many, many thousands focused on the lack of accountability and enforcement. So that was a huge area of frustration from these federal telework experts. Now, Lister says a GSA official once told her telework doesn't cause problems, it actually reveals them. And she says the conflicting rules of PTO is a new problem that PTO and several other agencies now do face.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Just to underscore this, Jason, basically what they're saying is it's not the technology or the program, it's just management 101, and some supervisors aren't doing it.
I would say that it's all about the management in terms of, are you holding people accountable? So if you know, if you're supposed to do, again, going back to the PTO example, if you're doing, you know, 10 reviews over an 80-hour pay period and you get 9 done, is someone saying, well, why don't you do 10? Is there a reason? Or if you do 11, the manager doesn't go, well, maybe we need to change what's expected of you. And I think management is still getting used to saying, what are you doing? Let me measure that versus, hey, did I see you today? Are you in your seat?
So do you think that what's been happening at PTO is going to set the government back when it comes to telework, I mean?
Right. It could very well. I mean, it's especially since PTO has long been put out there as that model agency. I mean, whenever we talk about telework, whenever we go to a conference, it's always PTO, PTO, PTO. And a lot of agencies may look at this report and everything that's going on around them and go, you know, if they can't get it right, what makes you think I can get it right? Because, you know, we're not even as far advanced as PTO is. Now, Lister says the audit is a big blow to federal telework effort and reminds her of another famous telework-related decision.
It reminded me of the Yahoo recalling their teleworkers last year. I probably talked to 50 reporters within about a week and a half about that, and literally every conference I've gone to and spoken since, that question comes up. Well, what about Yahoo?
If you remember back in February 2013, Yahoo CEO said she basically banned telework, and that caused a huge stir because obviously it's a tech company, a Silicon Valley company that's supposed to be on the cutting edge. And here, you know, this new CEO says, yeah, we want everyone back in the office.
But she did that more because she thought people would be more productive that way as opposed to reacting to any sort of scandal within her workforce, right?
As far as I can tell, correct. But at the same time, the fact is to say you need to be here versus you just need to get your work done. It really is in many people's minds an old school mentality. And I think that's what's still prevalent in the government is, well, if I didn't see you, then how do I know you're getting your work done? And if I can, how do I measure you to ensure you're getting your work done? Now I think the other piece of this that was pointed out by the experts that I spoke with is this report on PTO really is highlighting a few bad apples in a big bunch. You know, Lister says, you know, it's what's frustrating because, you know, probably 90-95% of all those employees are doing the right thing, but the few that aren't are really spoiling it for the rest of them. And again, you know, Horn from the Society of HR Management also told me that the PTO audit also reminded her of the Yahoo decision, where she's saying, you know, ooh, that's not a good sign for teleworking. But she feels like even though that this is a bad sign, the PTO problem, it's really just a blip on the radar screen, because she's finding that momentum around telework, organizations, both public and private sector, really are seeing more and more benefits of getting people to work in alternative work environments. In fact, Horn says PTO, like any organization after this report, needs to take a step back and analyze what's working and fix those things that are not.
Was it poor performance with the telecommuters, or was it poor management of the supervisors? Was there not adequate technology in place that set the employees up for success? Was there not clear communication around what were the expectations and the deliverables for the employees? So we think that kind of step back and an honest examination of the processes and policies around the organization's telecommuting program is really key.
Now, Commerce's IG Zisner says PTO actually's audit will inform future work in his office. For example, he says his office is auditing the quality of patent review process. There was a big concern in this teleworking audit that talked about what they call end loading, meaning they would the examiners would put all their work at the end of their pay period to say, look at all I did, but is that affecting quality? And I think that's a concern. Now, the investigative side of the IG is also looking department-wide, so across all of Commerce, at whether or not there is data that exists that investigators can review to see if there are systemic time and attendance fraud issues. So I think this story in itself is growing to other stories, and you know, maybe a year or so from now, we'll get to see, you know, more coming from this based on this initial set of audits.
Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Jason, thank you.
My pleasure.